Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Coming at you live from Auto Trader, here's New Car Energy.
They're searching inventory. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. It's smarter car shopping just for
Find
you.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com, powered by Auto Intelligence.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hey, Northeast Pennsylvania, it's Rob O'Donnell here on WILK News Radio, 103.1 FM, 910, 980 AM, or anywhere on that free Odyssey app. You download that Odyssey app at your App Store, your Google Play Store, your Apple App Store. Once it's downloaded, you look for WILK News Radio, you favorite us, and that's it. You have us. You'll also get us anywhere you get your favorite podcast. Just search The Rob O'Donnell Show and on your smart speakers. Just ask it to play WILK News Radio. So how's everybody doing on this Wednesday, October 15th, 2025? 62 degrees, man. It got really cleared up today, huh? It was nice and foggy and a little drizzly this morning. It's real nice outside now. 62 degrees and sunny at 3:09. How's everybody doing? So we'll just dive right into a couple things here. The city of Scranton had a caucus last night and then its city council meeting on what they're saying is changes to the downtown Scranton traffic flow signals and streetscapes, what's also known as its walkability. City goals include improving safety and walkability. And this has been a concept for many years, and the current administration has taken the helm on that concept. They brought someone in, Jeff Speck, who is known for his walkability studies. He's written a couple books about it. And it's interesting because his basis for his walkability study comes from Portland, Oregon. That's what he based a lot of his theories on and his studies on. And he's done these, I'll name some of the places where he's spearheaded some of these. Well, the cities and towns have spearheaded it, but based on his recommendations and using him as a consultant. But they're ready to begin in Scranton, this $27.3 million plan, and we'll get to that in a minute, because only about half of it is funded right now. And that's my main concern when it comes to this. Listen, I like what these concepts do for the cities. I've done a lot of research over the past couple of days on the cities that have implemented these things. You know, you start hearing that they're going to take away traffic lights and put four-way stop signs. They're going to narrow the roads in some ways. They're going to make streets from one-way to two-way, bike paths, and a whole bunch of other things. But there's a lot of questions that weren't answered yesterday during the caucus. And it was pretty obvious that they weren't answered because they asked for the group to come back, the group being the mayor, this consultant, Jeff Speck, and the fire chief and the police chief to come back. And there were general information given, but anytime specific questions were asked, there was a lot of, well, we'll get back to you. We'll have to get that to you. And you think that would be had at your fingertips when you're trying to get a $27.3 million project moved forward. Now, from Jeff Speck's own Walkable City, which he created in 2012. He was the author and urban planner and author for that, called Walkable City. There's 10 interconnected elements that coincide with this walkability, this downtown management system that he's developed. Usefulness, mixed use and density, safety, comfort, shade and benches, demand, what the demand is, and delight, aesthetics, you know, how it's going to make your city appear and look to the people who visit it and live there. And the goal is to retrofit car-dominated suburbs into pedestrian-friendly environments, prioritizing health, economic vitality, equity, and sustainability. Those are the 10-point plans that goes in there. And we've heard a lot about that. His approach emphasizes on low-cost, high-impact changes like road diets, reducing lanes, bike lanes, street trees over expensive rebuilds. Cities have hired him to produce actionable reports, often leading to phased implementations of that. And some of the cities, you know, that he's done work in and that have followed, a lot of them have downsized some of his recommendations to a mere just over $1 million, to where they just did some street striping and painting and crosswalks and such. And they've seen improvements because of that. But again, our plan here is they're looking at $27.3 million, only half of which is currently funded. Some of the cities that Mr. Speck has done these studies in is Atlanta, Georgia in the 2010s, Baltimore, Maryland, Carmel, Indiana, Cedar Rapids, Iowa, Cleveland, Ohio, Denver, Colorado, El Paso, Texas, Fort Lauderdale, Florida. Now, they're all in the 2010s. Mobile, Alabama in 2020. Walkability plan replacing signs with all-way stops. And they also used, and this is what jumped out at me, this Mobile, Alabama in the 2020s. I believe it was early 2025, this year. This Jeff Speck, who is our consultant, the city of Scranton's consultant on this project, used Nelson Nygaard, and that's who's already been planned to work with him on the Scranton project. So they've had prior work at Mobile, Alabama. So again, out-of-area consultants doing work here in our downtown. Oklahoma City, Oklahoma, Phoenix, Arizona, Portland, Oregon, like we said, which was his benchmark for his book, Walkable City. Some Sweden, Vancouver, Canada, Washington, D.C., Watertown, Massachusetts, Worcester. I've looked into these areas. What kind of impact did these projects have after they were implemented? And I like what I've seen as far as what the economic value was, what the safety value was, as far as, you know, my main concern is when you start taking away traffic lights for four-way stop signs, when you start making one-way streets, two-way streets, and they, even the cities said there is a few-month learning curve to this. But again, I did not see a spike in anything that concerned me. I did see economic increases in the area that these were implemented in. My concern more is here the $27.3 million, and only half of which, I believe just over $14 million, is accounted for in grants and money already. So only being half funded and this being a multi-phase project, I have the concern that a lot of people in Scranton would have and a lot of people in our area would have. You have a mayor that's running for, you have an administration that's running for re-election right now. Now, is there a good chance that she gets re-elected to the position she is? Maybe. It's up to the voters of Scranton to decide that. But she's also running for Congress next year. So is she in this for the long term? Because she's committing the city of Scranton to an almost $30 million project that she may or may not be here for. So does another administration come in and abandon this plan? Does another administration come in and change this plan after they've already paid consultants and have this money allocated for this? It's a concern. It's a concern, to say the least. The concern also that there were a lot of questions weren't answered to city council. Valid questions. I watched some of the meeting. And it appears that the city council president, to his own council members, asked them to hold off till the end of the meeting and then kind of abruptly ended the meeting, but at least did commit to having them come back next week to further ask questions, not only to the city council members, but to the public, who I'm sure and I know have a lot of questions about this. Um, it was also interesting that after some questioning from the public, certain members on city council basically said they were voting for this right after they said that they needed more information. Can they come back next week? So if they need more information and they can come back next week, and then you kind of slip and let the cat out of the bag and say you're already voting for this, concerns me even further. What's the rush here? There is none. The only rush here is, again, the mayoral election and city council election, where they may not have the same dynamic there that they have right now. So is this a hurry up and rush this through now to get this on our resume? And then whatever happens with it, happens with it, because, you know, it's the taxpayer dollars and those ARPA funds and all that other stuff that have accounted for about half of this $27.3 million. But this is, again, only half-funded project. It's going to be a multi-phase project. And again, I like the project. I like what they're planning to do here. I've read the planning in-depthly. I've read the report. I've looked into Jeff Speck and what he's done for other cities, other municipalities when it comes to this. And I think it's a positive thing for our area. I also saw some confusion when it talks to, well, we've talked to all stakeholders here. And they name some organizations in Scranton, and we've talked to business owners. Well, what business owners have you talked to? Because I know a few of the biggest business owners in Scranton, and they haven't been talked to. So who exactly in the business realm? Is this another, you know, Biden Street sign debacle where, oh, we've talked to everybody and everybody loves this, and then once the streets were named, they found out not so much? So I did hear a couple of questions. Who? What business specifically were talked to? And I hope that city council members go out on their own and walk these areas and walk in these businesses and speak to them and speak to the residents there. And again, I don't think this plan is a bad plan. I think it'll be very positive for the downtown Scranton area if done properly with the proper leadership to see it through. And with changes of administrations possible, and again, just possible, are we assured, is the taxpayers of Scranton assured that this will see through? And again, where's the other $14 million, $13 million coming from for this project? And with all those questions still pending, again, you have to ask yourself, why is there such a rush here? They have the study. I think it's a good study. I think the implementation, if done properly, will benefit the downtown Scranton area. The only rush I see here is for certain people to say, look what I did, or look what we did here, as they move on and wave goodbye to Scranton. So keep asking questions. If you live in downtown Scranton, if you're a Scranton taxpayer, keep asking questions. Specific questions, again, and if you are members of city council that aren't already the three yes votes that you kind of let that out of the bag during the council meeting yesterday, because in one breath you're saying you have to come back because we have more questions, and then in the next breath, tagged 10 minutes later, you're just telling people, I'm voting for this. Well, why the double talk? Then why are you asking for everyone to come back for another week? And again, slow and steady wins the race. That's how you see these things are done properly. And again, $27.3 million for downtown Scranton. And if you read into this project, it's talking about relocating power lines and pole utility poles to put the power lines underground. So what's that? What impact is that going to have on the cuts that have already been there and paving and such like that? What kind of impact is that going to have on businesses? You know, if your business on one of these streets and they're relocating power lines to underneath, well, how is that going to impact you? Has those conversations happened? And again, I thought looking into this and researching other cities where this was done, I'd have more concerns, and I don't. I think this is a very supportive thing for downtown Scranton. I think it'll make Scranton a better community down the road. I just think it needs to be done correctly. So, again, no need to rush into this, especially when you have $13 million that you don't have yet for this. So sort of like that lap pool up at NAOG where they keep saying it's there or it's coming or we're going to have it, but we don't have any money for it. So who knows? Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio 325. One of the other things that I did see in this study is they are expecting it to produce 70 more parking spaces, street-level parking spaces, within the city, based on the redesign and everything of the walkways and the streets and everything like that. They said that it will create 70 additional parking spaces were in this study. I have a question there because the city of Scranton just renegotiated bonds with the parking authority, or the private entity that kind of manages the parking authority now, and agreed to give this parking authority an additional $250,000 a year, I believe it was. And now you're going to give them, once the study's done, once this is implemented, 70 more parking spaces so they can make that much. The reason you agreed to give them extra money each year and do some work for them in cleaning and power washing and stuff like that was because they were hurting because of COVID, and they didn't get the revenue that they expected to get when they took over our parking authority. Well, now you're giving them 70 more spaces. Has it been asked what kind of revenue would that increase for them? And will that be deducted from this extra money that the city of Scranton, the Scranton taxpayer, is giving this parking authority entity, this extra $250,000, or whatever the number was? That's an extremely valid question, because if you're creating 70 more parking spaces, you're creating 70 more opportunities for that private entity to make revenue off the visitors and taxpayers and residents of Scranton. So where's that money going to go once those 70 spots are created? Because that was not part of the deal when you renegotiated the bonds and agreed to give them money and do some work for them. So is that being looked at? And I hope city council brings that up as well. As I said and broke into my friend Sue Henry's show, is there was an emergency declared on the Air Force C-32, which is sort of like a DC-10, looking at it wise. I know it's a different aircraft, my aircraft people, but for the average person, it looks like your regular commercial DC-10. But it's an Air Force C-32, and it was carrying Secretary Pete Hegseth and his staff from the UK, and they declared an emergency over the Atlantic, state of emergency, and it turned back. They had to drop down to under 10,000 feet, which to anyone in aviation and to people that I know said right away it appeared to be some sort of pressurization issue, and reverse course back to the UK. But they were squawking what's called a 7700, which is an in-flight emergency, engine failure, medical emergency, onboard fire, pressure, or something like that. It turned out to be a cracked windshield. If or if not the plane lost pressure is unknown at this time. But the plan did make a successful emergency landing at RAF Middlehall in the UK after declaring that emergency, and all souls on board are safe and sound. So that was some breaking news after that. I'm sure we'll find out more exact what happened, but it was some sort of cracked windshield. Could it have been a bird strike? Could it just been a crack? Was there a loss of pressurization? Just like on the aircraft, the commercial aircraft that you or I fly, you know, they tell you if there's a depressurization, those oxygen masks pop out of the ceiling. It's very similar on these, but they just don't have as many seats on them, of course. But they do have oxygen, just like those commercial flights do as well. So they do have emergency precautions in place in case the cabin did depressurize. But it appears that it could have been out of caution that they descended to 10,000 feet rapidly, or they actually experienced depressurization, which caused them to immediately go down. But these planes also have their own oxygen supply and masks on board for everyone that's there. So it's good to hear that everyone's safe and sound there. We also found out that today is the day that former Scranton Mayor Cartwright may be released. We'll see if he got out. If not, the Federal Bureau of Prisons lists Wednesday as the release date for the former Scranton Mayor Bill Cartwright, who was convicted and spent time in prison, who spent more than a year at a federal prison. He's under supervision of the office that oversees halfway houses and home confinement. So he's been out of jail, but he's been on halfway house and home confinement. He pled guilty in July of 2019 for criminal conspiracy, bribery, and extortion, for a pay-to-play shakedown of companies and vendors that did business with the city. He was sentenced in October of 2020 to 7 years incarceration. Shortly after that, in federal prison in Morgantown, West Virginia. It's unclear where the former mayor was released from prison, but as of August 2024, on public data on inmates maintained list by the Bureau of Prisons, he's been under the supervision of RRM Philadelphia, a residential reentry management field office within the Bureau. It's interesting that no one in the media, or no one here in Scranton knew that he was in a halfway house and ever released from prison, but we found out now that he's actually being released from the halfway house. So it's just some local news from our area. It is 3:31 here at WILK. It's time for the news with Paul Michaels. Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio. 3:36, 61 degrees. On this Wednesday, October 15th. So it appears that there'll be a rash of what they're calling hundreds of these No Kings demonstrations to protest of President Donald Trump will be held Saturday across the country.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. Now, I don't know if you've heard, but Mint's premium wireless is $15 a month. But I'd like to offer one other perk. We have no stores. That means no small talk. Crazy weather we're having. No, it's not. It's just weather. It is an introvert's dream. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer. First 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
You're tuned into Auto Intelligence live from Auto Trader, where data, tools, and your preferences sync to make your car shopping smooth.
They're searching inventory.
Oh, yeah.
They find what you need.
They're going to find it.
You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. Pricing's precise and true.
So true.
It's smarter car shopping.
Ooh.
Just for you.
Oh, it's just for you. Find your next ride at autotrader.com. Powered by Auto Intelligence.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Including 8 in Northeast Pennsylvania. Funny how they offset their time so they could jump from one to the other. And I actually saw this the last time they had this. Where Wilkes-Barre, Luzerne County at public squares from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. and then Scranton's from 2 p.m. to 5 p.m. so they can all jump in their buses and cars from the public square and head up here to Courthouse Square. But you also have one in Honesdale from noon to 2. Milford and Pike County from 2 to 4, Montrose, Susquehanna County, 1 to 3, Tunkhannock from 3 to 4:30, Montrose, Susquehanna County, at another location. No, that was on the same one, on the green. They listed it twice. And Pottsville in Schuylkill County from 11:30 to 1 p.m. at Market Street. Listen, hey, it's the American way to protest, right? No kings. Okay. How about you go find yourself a leader? Because that's what the Democrat Party is in desperate need of. If you had an alternative, if you had someone that you could bring and point to and say, here's our future, maybe you'd have more hope than having these crazy cat lady blue-haired rallies all over Northeast Pennsylvania or along the, the place. I did see that the Randy Weingartner, or AFT, sent an email to all their memberships to tell them to get involved with a link to find the ones nearest to them. You know, I'm sure we'll see the normal characters in the SEIU and the rest of them there. It's funny because entities like the Teachers Union, the ATF, the Pennsylvania State Education Association, the SEIU, you know, they want to talk about the Affordable Care Act, and they want to talk about these exchanges and the enhanced premium tax credits that are due to expire because they were temporary COVID enhancements. But they don't want their memberships in that Affordable Care Act exchange at all. They want their own Cadillac plans that the taxpayers predominantly pay for, and they won't step away from that. Listen, if the Affordable Care Act, if this was such a staple for our health care nationally, why wouldn't the two nation's two largest unions, the SEIU and the ATF, jump into it and say, yeah, we're going to put our members in these exchanges and these plans to supplement it, to shore it up, and we're going to lead from the front. But they don't do that. They don't do that at all. Matter of fact, they negotiate the total opposite for their health care plans. But, hey, rallies are good. Voicing your opinion is good. And if it's peaceful, have at it. And I hope you have a great weather for it. And I hope you get your turnout that you're expecting. Who knows? It's interesting because local media has been covering a lot of these rallies, from Action Together or whoever it is, where you know dozens of people showed up to this rally. Listen, if you're getting two dozen people for something as instrumental as the threat of taking away Medicare or Medicaid, maybe you're not resonating with people. Or maybe regular everyday people are out there working like they should be for their benefits that they get through their employer. That being said, some advice. I think the Democrat Party would be better served finding their next leader, their bench, the people that they could bring them into the midterms, into 2028, and say, hey, here's our person. Here's the person that we're ready to go to. You have no leader. You have no message. You're the anti-everything. I mean, you want to have this No Kings rally? Have at it. But, you know, you're protesting a guy that just brought at least temporary peace to the Middle East and had every living hostage released. And it's interesting that you want to throw in things, bring tombstones. It's funny. At our Action 18 action, where we'll use spooky protest art to show what's at stake. Yeah, there's nothing like taking yourself seriously on a protest than dressing in Halloween costumes. So bring tombstones, signs, or costumes to call out what billionaires are trying to kill. Medicaid, SNAP, checks and balances, our Constitution, due process, and basic dignity in the work of working people. I don't know, working people I know are all doing pretty good. Checks and balances, I think that's we're getting more about that back than we've had. Medicaid, if you're entitled to it and you meet the criteria, no one's touching your Medicaid. As far as your fear with the Affordable Care Act saying that it's being reduced or cut, no, it's not. The ARPA enhancements are being cut, and they're not even being cut. You, the Democrats who controlled the presidency, the House, and the Senate, wrote the law that way and passed the law that way. So the only thing being reduced or expiring or allowed to expire are the ARPA enhancements and the inflation reduction enhancements that were temporary for COVID. And you love them because they shored up your failing Affordable Care Act system, but no one's touching the 2010 Affordable Care Act criteria. If you qualified for the Affordable Care Act under the 2010 law as written, you will qualify it on January 1st after the enhancements expire. But have fun at your No Kings protest. It's 3:42 here. Let me tell you about my friends at the Good Feet store, located right here in Scranton in the corner of Route 6 and Commerce Boulevard across from the Olive Garden. They're making it easier than ever to feel your best. Say goodbye to foot pain and hello to personalized comfort with Good Feet Art Supports. There's no waiting. The art supports are immediately available, so you can experience the difference today with a free test walk. And what I love about them, they're proudly made here in the USA. I've had my Good Feet Art Supports in my shoes. You put them in your shoes so you don't have to buy anything special. You get the inserts. You move them from shoe to shoe. If you're wearing heels for you ladies, you could put them in there. Your sandals, they got these little Velcro tabs. You could put them in there. I put them from my dress shoes to my sneakers to my casual shoes all the time. So why wait to feel better? Visit them at 1945 Commerce Boulevard in Scranton. Call them at 570-534-0980. Check them out online at goodfeet.com. Because you're not going anywhere without good feet.
Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio. It's 3:46 here, 61 degrees. I guess I hit some nerves. Somebody said you're busting balls over Halloween costumes at a rally. I guess you forgot how the MAGAs dressed up at their rallies. Ha, 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 ha. Well, I don't know. Tell me how they dressed. I went to a couple here in Northeast Pennsylvania, and everybody was dressed pretty professionally. Matter of fact, I wore a suit to all the ones I was at that I was covering. Somebody said the Affordable Care Act was so good, why did Congress have to immediately change the wording because they forgot to exclude themselves and staffers from it? And just remember, the closest thing we ever had to a king in this country was Democrat President Roosevelt, who was the only president to serve more than two terms. Somebody else chimed in. The Democrats want to waste their time fighting against Trump instead of actually building back their lost party. They're way too focused on Trump and nothing else. You know, it's usually the way it is. Well, one of our local colleges, Wilkes, issues a somber warning about a financial shortfall. Warning in daunting financial challenges after completing a discouraging review of its operations and practices, admitting to what it describes as a breakdown in process and failure in leadership. Those are some strong terms for a self-reflection. The university is to hold three town halls in the coming weeks to discuss its financial situation further and detail its recovery plan. The warning was delivered in a letter from the president's office sent Tuesday, which was signed by Wilkes president Greg Kant and Board of Trustee chair Bill Miller and addressed to the members of the campus community. According to the letter, which was obtained by the Citizen's Voice, an analysis of the current fiscal year indicates Wilkes will be facing a deficit of $7 million, which amounts to over 6% of its total operating budget. Its revenue is expected to come in approximately $1 million below target, while its expenses will see a major variance. The projected shortfall follows a fiscal year in which Wilkes faced a $2.8 million deficit, or about a 2.5% of its operating budget. This is something you're going to see in a lot of universities across the nation. They are truly, and meaning higher education, across the spectrum, is truly going to have to reevaluate how they do business. They have, if you look, once the government-backed student loans, the inflation in higher education skyrocketed higher than anything else around us. And it's because they knew the money was guaranteed. When people planning to go to college, and I'm sorry, college is not a requirement. College is not an entitlement. College is a luxury. And you need to weigh the pros and cons of your cost for such an education to meet your goal. And what kind of job are you getting after that? Now, I guess a lot of people don't have that guidance when they're getting in their latter years of high school to sit down and say, well, what do you want to be when you grow up? What do you want to go to college for? What kind of how marketable are you with that type of degree? And what kind of salary will you make there? These are things that I sat down with my children over and over again. And thankfully, they had a really good idea which route they were going to go. And there were several avenues, you know, in the medical field or in the military field. And there are a lot of options out there. And I think colleges are realizing that the young people in America, especially that 18 to 23, who have been registering more conservative, have been thinking more conservative, have been acting more conservative, and they're not just using college as their 13th, 14th, 15th, and 16th year of high school. That's what college – it was never meant to be that. And I understand for a lot of people it was. A lot of people it was just a big party where you kind of took some classes. But life's not that. And if that's the way you got through college and you're doing good now, great for you. But a lot of people don't do that.
If you plan out what you want to do, be it a trade school, be it the military, be it go right into a trade right out of high school and get an apprenticeship, there are a lot of more beneficial avenues that, and colleges are going to have to realize that. They're going to have to realize that these useless degrees and these useless classes in a lot of entities, not all of them. I mean, I'm not saying colleges, if you're going for a purpose, but when it turns out that, you just decided to be a history major because it was the thing to do, or you decided to take political science, but you had no eagerness to do anything else. And then you get out of college and you realize, well, I really can't get a job doing anything. A lot of them, unfortunately, are becoming teachers, and we're losing people who go to college because they want to be teachers. And those are the people I want teaching my kids. Those are the people you want teaching your kids. You don't want people teaching in our schools, in our public school systems, simply because they got out of college with a degree and they needed to do something. And colleges are realizing that not just that entity, but a lot of people are graduating with these degrees and even masters and are not marketable. Listen, I have friends who got master's degrees in chemistry, and unless they went on to something more specific and got their doctorates or did something, they're both chemistry teachers now in high school. Not that that's a bad thing, but if they thought they were going to be working in some research, and I know they did, they thought they were going to be working in some research lab and doing some really great work. And some people do fall into that, but it's not as easy to come by as you can. And colleges are realizing that, and colleges are starting to hurt financially because that. You're going to see a realignment from our colleges quite shortly that they're definitely going to have to rely on. They're going to have to offer and recruit students rather than, hey, the college is rejecting students, and if you get in or not they're going to have to need to go out and get you and say, hey, we have these medical area degrees, we have these engineering degrees, we have these degrees in AI, or we have these degrees in technology, the route things are going, and we'd like to have you come here, and we're lowering the prices, we're keeping things down as best we can for our students so they can come in, because there was a whole generation that was lied to about their student debt being taken away. That generation is now very angry. There was a whole generation that was angry that their last years of high school and first years of college were taken away from them, and they are very angry. So they're very skeptical when it comes to believing a line of garbage when it's told to them, and they're seeing through it very, very easily. And they're being given a lot more alternatives now, and those alternatives are out there. I think our local universities are in a good position to retool themselves, especially in the medical field. We have some great medical degree programs here in our area, but they're going to have to compete against each other. They're going to have to do better than each other. They're going to have to provide more services for the students to attract them better, to provide better housing, to provide better meal plans, not just say, hey, we have our enrollment and we can turn away X amount of people because we're at our max enrollment anyway. That's not the way it is. They're going to have to work for the enrollment that they're getting. So I think we're going to see a lot more of that in our area. And there's a lot of growth opportunity. I talked about there's some community colleges across the nation that are starting programs in aviation for air traffic controllers and mechanics and such like that. With our proximity to Avoca Airport right here, AVP Airport, that would be a prime place to set up a federal training position for air traffic controllers, to where they get their classroom stuff and certifications in their community college or in a 2-year program in a college like Wilkes, and then get hands-on experience on the job training in the second 2 years, where they graduate with a degree and have a great paying stable job that is needed throughout the nation. Or you can join the military and be an air traffic controller there, and when you retire, get certified by the FAA and then work here. It's time for the Bloomberg. It's 3:59 here on WILK as we come up on the 4 o'clock hour. An update on the Lackawanna County Office of Youth and Family Service Workers. They're seeking an appeal to the state Supreme Court. The district attorney will oppose the request for an appeal. The 4 current employees and 1 former employee
are facing charges on child abuse, and they are trying to get to the state Supreme Court to prevent that from happening. A lower court said that they couldn't be charged, and then the appeals court said, yes, they could. One of the things that I found, especially in the situation of Lackawanna County, is the four active Office of Youth and Family Service employees that are facing these charges that have been out of work for over a year now, they're on leave with pay. Now, of course, the one who was retired is not on the payroll, but the end of the story that I saw was they are responsible for their legal bills, but all four are on suspension with pay. Again, Lackawanna County, your taxpayer dollars at work. It's 4 o'clock here at WILK. We'll be back with the second hour right after the news break.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You're tuned into Auto Intelligence, live from Auto Trader, where data, tools, and your preferences sync to make your car shopping smooth.
They're searching inventory.
Oh, yeah.
They find what you need.
They're going to find
it. They can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. Pricing's precise and true.
So true.
It's smarter car shopping.
Ooh.
Just for you.
Oh, it's just for you.
Ooh.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com. Powered by Auto Intelligence.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
ARK Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure video game set in a lethal yet vibrant future Earth. Play as a raider, where you will settle into a fractured underground settlement, hoping to build a new home and legacy for yourself. In order to thrive, you must return to the surface, where lethal ARK machines roam unchecked and the motives of other raiders are dangerously unclear. But if you are fearless enough, who knows what you might find? Pre-order now for PlayStation 5, Xbox Series XS, and PC. Available on October 30, rated T for Teen.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.